Okay, thanks very much. Good evening. Jumping back now to items number 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, this is 543 Pandora Avenue West. Item 3 is an application for approval of a plan of subdivision and zoning change from an R1M residential single-family district to an RMFS residential multifamily district. In accordance with the charter and the development procedures bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following two variance applications will be heard at the same time. Firstly, for the construction of a multiple family dwelling to permit a front yard of 25 feet and the establishment of an accessory parking area to permit parking spaces directly off of a lane. And secondly, for the construction of a multiple family dwelling to permit a front yard of 25 feet, a rear yard of 5 feet, a separation space between buildings of 5 feet, and for the establishment of an accessory parking area to permit parking spaces within 10 feet of a window to a habitable room and no east side yard.
Okay, the applicant, welcome, Mr. Giovanni again, and this was laid over twice, so this has to be dealt with similar to the other one as this is the last meeting where we can deal with this here, and then it has to be dealt with and go forward or not. So we'd like to give you an opportunity to speak. So.
Well, thank you. Good evening. My name is Giovanni Geremia. I'm at 351 Assiniboine Avenue, and I've been working as the architect on this project. With me tonight is also Mr. Michael Mark. He's the owner and the proponent of the project. We are here tonight to seek approval for the rezoning and variance required to build 12 rental housing units on the former site of Warren's Corner Sports. Mr. Mark purchased the property earlier this year and has demolished the building. On the left-hand side, there are photographs of the building that was removed from that site. The site is 15,120 square feet and is located on the northeast corner of Pandora Avenue and Bismarck Street. That also says 1,260 square feet for each proposed rental unit, and that's well within keeping of the zoning that we are applying for. This application first came to this committee in July. The owner was looking to build a fairly standard 12-unit, two-story apartment on the property. The units would face east and west, and parking was proposed to be off the lane. At that meeting, a number of residents objected to the plan and expressed concern about parking off the lane, safety, units facing onto adjoining properties. There were other concerns such as site drainage and visitors parking. After hearing the delegates opposed to the application, this committee adjourned the public hearing to give us an opportunity to meet with the residents in that area. As a result, a meeting was held with interested residents on July 31st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the East End Community Center. A letter from the owner dated July 30th was handed out to those that attended. No new drawings were presented at that meeting since the intent was to listen to the residents and share information and concerns. At this meeting, one of the people that was in attendance actually told me that we don't want you to go away, but we want our concerns heard, and we want you to be flexible with what you want to do with this site. As a result, you may say we went back to the drawing board, revisited design for the 12 units, keeping in mind that we had heard, and totally reworked the arrangement of the units and parking on the site. The resulting design, which are the three boards to our left here, was presented at a public open house held from noon until 4 p.m. at the Canada Inn in Transcona. This open house was advertised in local papers and was attended by about 23 people. And the general comments were favorable. There were still some comments about taking away from visitors parking. To keep the residents informed, the owners took further step and sent out letters with the colored drawings that were presented at the open house to seven people who had registered in opposition of the July 7 meeting, but were not able to come to the open house. That letter is found in the red tab, which is a handout that we give out as to what went out to them. Also, as a result of the revised design, the required variances had changed, and due to the time constraint, it was decided that we ask for a postponement of the public hearing from the September meeting to that of tonight. The plans that were presented at the open house are also found in your handout under the green tab. And again, it is the three panels on my left here. And I will get into the plan a little bit later. The final plan that we are submitting tonight is going to be similar to that presented at the open house, except that we have added two parking spaces so that there are a total of 14 on-site parking stalls for the 12 units of housing. Also, Mr. Mark has applied for a leave and license agreement with the city to keep in place the existing 7 parking stalls off of Pandora. If that application is accepted, this development would have a total of 21 parking stalls for 12 units. Just a quick look at the design, which is the upper board. What we have done, we've basically broken the building down into two buildings instead of one. So there's a fourplex on the north side and eightplex on the south side. If you look at the plan that you see at the bottom here, hasn't changed much. All the access to the units happen off the parking lane at the back of the building, and we are providing green space to the balcony and the living sides on both Pandora and Bismarck. And also, if you look at the elevations, we're trying to maintain a residential character in the neighborhood, and there'll be a combination of stucco siding to provide some interesting arrangement in the elevations. As far as the parking goes, after hearing the residents, we have gone within one access off the lane instead of the 12 or 13 stalls that would back out onto the lane. I think that was one of the main concerns. And we are providing 14 stalls in a paved parking lot, which is going to be drained internally. None of the site does, none of that parking area drains out. We're also proposing a privacy fence on the east side of the development. That's I think it's a 6'6" fence is what's needed. And if it needs to be higher, we can build it also higher. And there are no windows facing the adjoining property on the building, and we're within the required side yards if this were a single lot on that side for the building portion. As a result of this open house, announcements, two articles in the local paper, and the site signage, Lori Mark, who by the way will be the manager of the completed project, has received no fewer than 50 calls from people who are interested in renting the housing units. That resulted in a waiting list of 15 people who are serious about renting a unit when they become available. About half of the callers are from the Transcona area, and the other half are residents that have moved out and want to be back in the area. From the interest shown in the 12 rental units we wish to develop, it would appear that there is a real need in this area for good rental housing units. There's one matter I'd like to address, which was a petition that was handed out at the initial meeting of July 7th, and the owners are asking that petition be removed from the file. The reason for requesting the removal of the petition is expanded upon in the blue under the blue tab in your handout. The petition of names was gathered by Denise Grossman and Hank Villanga. The petition clearly stated to those who signed it, and I quote from the petition, "I have reviewed the plans and understand the nature of the application." In the minutes of the meeting of July 7th, both Ms. Grossman and Ms. Villanga stated that they did not know what was going on with this application and that they had not seen, and I even quote, any pieces of paper somewhat showing what the project was about. It is our contention that based on the minutes, the proponents of the petition, as well as those that signed the petition, did not have an understanding of the nature of the application before circulating or signing the petition. Just in concluding, we feel that we have listened, we have reworked our plans, and we have done all we can to address the concerns of the residents of the area. We feel that we are putting forward a plan that will be of positive benefit to the area and contribute to supply much-needed good rental housing in Transcona. That is my presentation.
Okay, thanks. I don't have any questions at this point. I'm sure I'll have questions later. You're also registered too, Mr. Mark. Did you want to add anything at this point? Okay, all right. You'll have an opportunity to come back forward once you hear. Sorry, was there any questions, Councilor Boddy?
I'm good.
No? Okay, thanks very much. I'm just going to go through those registered in support. And for those, some of you were at the last meeting, some of you weren't at the last meeting, but if you've registered, if you've heard a lot of things said prior to similar things that you wanted to say, you could just simply acknowledge that you want to be registered in support or in opposition, depending on what you've registered. You don't necessarily have to speak. It doesn't compel you to speak. But you're certainly welcome to speak if you so choose. And again, we're trying to be fair to everybody, so we're trying to limit the presentations to 10 minutes maximum. You don't have to use all that time to speak. I have registered Lucy and Frank Bittner, 520 Melrose Avenue West, in support. Mr. and Mrs. Bittner, do you wish to speak or just register in support?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. This is your only opportunity to speak at this time, just to let you know. So do you wish to speak at this time or do you just wish to register in support? Okay. Only the applicant has an opportunity because of the very nature of being an applicant to be able to come back and respond to any concerns or questions raised. So, Ms. Bittner, welcome. Hi.
Hi. My husband and I have thought very carefully about this plan, and we're very impressed on how the owner has tried to accommodate all of the different needs. Of course, there's always some needs that will never be accommodated. You can't help that. One of the things that helped us make a decision was the fact that it could change from a 55 plus, and there was no guarantee for that. And the reason that we had gone with this decision is that the cost of maybe $900 a month, you're not going to find a low rental person who's going to be even capable to, you know, to really even pay that kind of money per month. The question came, well, what happens if he decides to lower his rent? Well, income tax benefit is probably higher benefit than it is to lower the rent. So on these two bases, this is what we agreed on. One other thing, concern was the parking down the back lane. It was suggested that a left-hand turn from the parking lot itself be made so that there wouldn't be so much traffic going down the residential part of the block. I still would like to see that in effect to try to eliminate some of the congestion that can take place because of the way the back lane is designed. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions for Ms. Bissinger? Thank you very much for your presentation. Fred Bobrowski, 126 Larch Avenue West. Register in support?
Yes.
Do you wish to speak, Fred?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Fred Bobrowski. I live at 126 Larch. I've been a resident of the Transcoda neighborhood for many years. Let me first say that I will not be directly impacted by whatever decision is made on this facility. I don't live immediately by this location. However, I do speak as a member of the community and have some understanding of the needs of seniors in the community for affordable housing. My understanding is that this facility will be directed towards seniors. Now, on that basis, and with, you know, the lack of housing for seniors in this community, I have a hard time understanding why we would not support this proposal. The question everybody's going to ask who is against it was, well, if you lived here, would you support it or not? My answer would be yes. I've thought that question over quite a bit. And if I lived across the back lane or next to this facility, I'm quite familiar with the area. Based on my knowledge of the need for seniors housing, I would support this, and I do support this initiative. There, you know, and there's people who live in the area who are seniors now who probably have their own housing. if the day comes, unfortunately, and hopefully it'll never come, where they have to live out of their own houses, they have to move, would they want to live in their own community? Would they take advantage of this opportunity if it ever occurred to them? And that everybody has to answer on their own. I don't know what the answer is, but I do believe there's a need in the community of Transcona for this type of facility. It's accessible. It'd be great for seniors. It's close to buses. It's a great neighborhood, and I guess that's all I have to say. I support the initiative.
Thanks very much for coming forward, Fred. Thank you. Last individual I have registered in support, Eileen Rapke. Ms. Eileen Rapke. Hi, Eileen. Would you like to speak? Please come forward. And state your name and address for the record again. I should be doing that. So.
Eileen Rapke of 51610 Valhalla Drive. And I'd like to speak for, because I'm one of those people who said, yes, I'd like to rent. A couple years ago, it came time, I raised my children in Transcona. I went to high school in Transcona. Now when it was time that I needed adequate housing and really was no longer interested in owning property, there really was nothing available that I thought was really adequate. This sounds like it would be adequate. So I'm speaking for those people who are either thinking of selling their homes and want housing, or, as in my case, sold my home and now live on Henderson Highway because there was no place in Transcona that was really adequate. So I would like to speak in support of this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, no. Thank you very much, Eileen. First of all, are there any other individuals who wanted to register in support that have not registered in support? Anybody else here who did not register in support that didn't have to slip in? Seeing none, registered in opposition, Denise Grossman, 536 Melrose Avenue West. Denise? Hi.
Hi, my name is Denise Grossman. I'm at 536 Melrose Avenue West.
Hi, welcome.
First off, in their request to have our petition removed, I just quickly, briefly on Saturday walked the neighborhood, not as much as the first time, but just to see how people felt, and I have 42 signatures here just from like about an hour and a half's walk, so I felt that that was pretty representative of what the consensus still seemed to be. I don't have copies. But
no, that's okay. That's all right, Denise, for sure.
Just the one.
And just so you know, not to interrupt your presentation, Denise, but once a petition has been presented, there might be disputes over this, who knew what when they signed, but it's presented, it can't be removed. So anyway, it's for the record, it's not being taken off the record, so I want to stress that.
But I just felt it was a valid thing that since they had the open house and people were more informed about it,
okay,
to see how they felt. So.
All right, thank you.
As for my issues, they haven't really much changed since the first meeting. Like, it's still concerns with parking and the overflow onto the side streets, as well as the congestion, because it's already a congested back lane. And the parking lot basically comes out right into where I park. And with kids, it's a safety issue, too. And I had my house actually appraised in August, and I asked the appraiser if it would affect my property value, and he confirmed that it would lower my property value, so I didn't really much like hearing that either. Now he said because it was rentals that it would have a negative effect, so all my concerns are basically what they were initially, because I don't feel like anything really got addressed in the right way.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Councillor Boyden? I don't have any questions at this time. But was there anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so.
There was a similar concerns from your last presentation when you were here before.
Yeah.
A few months ago. So, okay. All right, Denise, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't have any questions at this time. Thanks for the presentation. If anybody has cell phones, please turn them off. starting with the city staff. Sorry, John. Tom, I hope I Kirchamar, 532 Melrose Avenue West. Tom High, would you like to speak? Hi, welcome, Tom.
Tom Kirchmar, 532 Melrose Avenue West. Nice building, but I think in the long run it'll come back to bite us. I think individual homes in the area would be much better. That's it.
Okay. Any questions for Tom? No? Okay, thanks, Tom. Thank you. R. Kauk, 530 Melrose Avenue West. R. Kauk. Mr. Kauk, do you wish to speak?
No.
Just register in opposition.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Mike Latrinier, I'm sorry. Latrinier, sorry about that. 535 Melrose Avenue West. Paul. Hi.
Mike Latrinier, 535 Melrose Avenue. I'd just like to say that the increased traffic in the neighborhood, and I live right on the corner of Bismarck and Melrose, that once this rental housing is here, none of my visitors will ever be at the park to come and visit. There'll be no parking spots left. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Once people start visiting this rental unit, everybody's going to be parking on our street. And anybody that wants to visit me, you won't be able to. And I just have concerns for kids and everything else that is going to be increased traffic. It'd be a lot better to have just two or three houses there instead of 30 people living in that spot. Those are my concerns.
Okay. It's good you're raising your concerns, because I've made note of the concerns, and the applicant, I think, should be making note of the concerns to address when he comes back to speak to us. So the questions will be asked. So thank you.
But see, there's the thing. Like, I live so close to the corner that anybody that wants to visit me will be parking halfway down the block now, probably because all these other cars coming from that rental place. So. I think it would be better if it was condos, not rentals.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much. Yeah. Any questions? Thank you very much. Gina Nowerski, 605 Melrose Avenue West. Do you register in opposition? Okay, great. Do you wish to speak or register in opposition? Register in opposition? Okay. Thanks. Henry Hank Valenga and Nancy Roseboom, 535 Pandora Avenue West. Wish to speak, Henry? Okay. Hi, welcome.
Oh. Hank Bellinger, 535 Pandora Avenue West. I've got a few concerns that I really, really do not appreciate. The way this thing is being set up here. I don't want to have the parking lot right up against my property. What they're trying to do is basically infill that whole area. I have a young child that sleeps basically underneath this nonsense, because what we have now is we have a high traffic area on the Pandora side, and now we're going to have a parking lot on the back side. I have a young child that goes to sleep at 8 o'clock in the evening. I do not need people driving in and out of parking lots until goodness knows what hour. As far as a rental unit is concerned, we do not have any kind of confirmation as to how this is going to be conducted in the later part of this goings on. We're going to end up whether or not they suggest it's going to be 55 plus. We cannot be totally guaranteed that it will be 55 plus. If they run into troubles and if they can't fill the units, they'll go to secondaries, and then we end up with goodness knows. All right, now that's fine. If you wish to go into that direction, then we have a whole other ball game. We're going to look at all kinds of issues, be it garbage, be it snow removal, be it cars, be it this, whatever. I don't see where the comfort level is to overbuild this corner. It gives us a sense of overwhelming. We don't have the parking availability. We have water issues on our streets as it is due to runoff rains. I know they're putting in sewer as to hold that, but again, we have a whole development that carries over a large area. We have runoff water that comes off of New Flyer already. It does fill Pandora, all the way to the parking, all the way in to the back. I would suggest halfway down the street plus on Bismarck, which in turn turns that into a not useful parking area for people who would be in a capacity as visiting. It causes restrictions, so then they're forced to do other nonsense, goodness knows what. The water also runs right back onto the sidewalk at the neighbors. Now, if we over cover this area, there is a possibility it can extend further. Yes, it has gone to the walkway. So that means it's getting very close to houses. And this is just basically runoff. Now, we have a whole other pile of issues going on with New Flyer. Now, would you like me to continue with those?
We're here to hear this item.
I understand
today.
That, but there's going to be one okay. thing that I would like to
sure.
suggest. I'm just going to state
sure.
it out. That is the fact that we still have odor and noise issues in that area. Now, if they do decide to bring in 55 people and they say, well, yes, we're going to come closer to the street. We already have noise issues from the street. We already have noise issues from New Flyer, and we already have odor issues from New Flyer. Now, if these people decide that this is not a suitable place to be, we're going to have a revolving door situation where people will come and go because it doesn't suit them. Now, what shows as a good place to put seniors or older people will all of a sudden become the Achilles heel and will not be able to get this thing to function correctly. In that, it can turn sour, and we could end up with a whole pile of issues for the residents. Again, reminding that when council decides to make these suggested changes in residence areas, the residents take the brunt of that, after which there is no reprieve. We end up with the situation. Council suggests, okay, fine, you know, we've done everything we can, and we're left with the situation. I don't want to see this happen in this area. If we look at it in terms of keeping it in its status as a R1 status, it will minimize the amount of effect in that area and keep the balance in the residents. And everybody will be equal. We don't overwhelm the area with a large unit which doesn't conform to the status as it is. It maintains values, increasing values even so, because where you see where they bring in new homes as opposed to rentals, you see things go up. This is just simply keeping checks and balances, keeping the area as it was designated. They suggest now, yes, we took out an eyesore. Yes, well, maybe the building was beyond its means. Underneath that building was originally designated as R1 status throughout. What the residents in the area is wishing to see happen is to see that the area fulfills its original plan to keep the balance in the area. R1 status as it was, finalize the area, minimize the amount of intensity in the area. It would suit the place better and keep everything in checks and balances.
Okay. Thanks, Hank. Appreciate that. I know you're right next door, so I know where your property is.
Yes. I have one more small issue.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
There is a set of pins from a previous land survey that do not match the pins of this new survey. So I have an issue with this fence business for that very fact also. The privacy fence, yes, is required, definitely. That is a good plus. But the fact remains, there is a pin issue from the existing pins on my other side property to where they have set the pins.
Okay.
They, according to the existing pins on the opposite side of my property, they are within about 3 inches into my property.
It's a surveying issue by the
city. It is a surveying issue. I understand that. But before anything goes ahead, I would like to see that it is confirmed and made properly assessed.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up, Hank. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Any questions? I don't have any right now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks. D.M. Simpson, 526 Melrose Avenue West. D.M. Simpson. I register in opposition. You wish to register in opposition, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Do you wish to speak or register in opposition?
No, I don't want to speak.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Simpson. May Traeger, 537 Melrose Avenue West. I register in opposition.
I just wanted to say that.
If you wish to speak, you actually have to.
Okay, sorry.
Everything is tape recorded, so that's why you're speaking, we have to make sure everything's recorded. So.
May Traeger, 537 Melrose Avenue West.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say what everybody else has pretty much said, that the increase in traffic and the parking is a big issue because our street has no restrictions on it. And the streets opposite us all have restrictions, so our street will be the first place they park, and I'm just three houses in, so it'll all be right in front of our house.
Okay. That's okay. All right. Thanks very much, May. Appreciate your presentation. Garth Walker, 533 Melrose Avenue West. Mr. Walker.
Hi. Welcome. Good evening. Garth Walker, 533 Melrose Avenue West. A lot has already been stated, which is on the list here, and I just want to make comment on the current, let's just establish traffic first. Traffic, we live between Regent and Pandora. Okay, it's a single street that runs parallel to both those busy streets. Anything that's attracted to increased traffic there is going to be a detriment to the housing. I've been very, very lucky in the past 20 years of having lived there. I've raised two girls, and we played many, many hundreds of hours on the front street, whether it be street hockey, soccer, baseball. We've really been able to enjoy it, and traffic has been, I'll say, moderate at best. Okay, surprisingly, that we're surrounded by two very busy thoroughfares on either side. By increasing traffic, four units of a single-family dwelling versus a multi-family dwelling of 12 units, the numbers just simply say there's going to be more traffic. If it parks in front of my house, I have issue with that, and I just don't think it's right. Okay, this all benefits one person at this point in time in this development. It does not benefit any of the people that live in the area and have lived there for many, many years. And I'm hearing it quite loudly. We don't want it. It's really plain and simply. The statement of 55 plus comes into play. If it was to remain a 55 plus, I think that's a great, great sales pitch. I think that's what it is. I think the issue that we're talking about here is we're selling multifamily dwelling versus R1M. Okay, whatever he puts up there, it really doesn't much matter. It is going to be a multifamily dwelling issue. Once given that zoning, he will have the full freedom to do whatever he wishes. And he can state whatever he wants now here, but as a multifamily dwelling, it gives him many, many options of which he can do whatever it is. So to sell it as a 55 plus at this point, I'm sorry, the realism is multifamily versus RM1. I look at the plans and I see what the variances are. Very first variance, the required 28 feet is required. He's asking for 25. That's not too bad of a concession. The required 25 feet that is required in the rear, asking for 5. That's a major concession. Okay, my property is required from house to lane 25 feet. 5 feet, that's huge, okay? 5 feet between buildings required 8 feet, the consensus there. I stand 6 feet tall. From shoulders to toe is 5 feet. That's the distance between two-story buildings. I see that as being almost unacceptable. That's almost two people working side by side. That's the distance apart. I see that we've crowded this area, and this is what he's asking to do. He's taking a 12 unit and trying to make it fit. To accommodate it, it went from 12 parking stalls to 14 parking stalls in the same amount of room. All they've done is compressed. And this is a big concern that I have. The perimeter around the building, I feel for Hank in the sense that 4 feet from building to now a 6'6" or higher fence. That, again, is two people side by side walking down there. Went to the zoning department last week just to find out and understand, because we are very ignorant towards what is zoning, what they are. They're very, very helpful down there, and I just asked very basic questions. Why does it require 4 feet from the property line? It was explained to me 4 feet from the property line on each side gives you 8 feet, and the reason for that is actually it's a fire reason. It's a fire code, so people can get in there and do their business if the fire was to occur. Makes sense. Why is it 25 feet from frontage to the the front of your street. He says, well, that's cosmetic, to make it consistent. And what about the rear? The same thing, to allow living space. Well, we're trying to build structures on what would be considered the living space. Again, I just want to reiterate, it's too crowded. It was eight units be more successful? I don't know, but that's not what's being submitted here. Having talked to agents as well about property values in the home, I'll confirm what Denise has said. Yes, they're saying this is not positive on our property value. So again, by permitting this unit to go up, has an impact on me personally as to the value of my home currently. The petition that was also signed over the course of the weekend, we just thought it would be a good idea that having the changes that have been made on the property, and we're in good faith, they're very positive, they're very, very well light out, but there are also information meetings, and we're trying to educate ourselves as to what was going on that piece of property and what variances we had and the questions we had. So in doing so, the petition we said was, what is the attitude of the people in the neighborhood? Again, the people that are it's going to immediately impact. And Denise went out there and just very quickly, an hour and a half, 2 hours, gained 35 signatures, and nothing much has changed in the sense that the people that are going to have to live with this piece of property are the ones that are saying, still no. So this is not something that we want.
Well, thanks for your presentation, Mr. Walker. Are there any questions? My impression is you're not against any kind of change, like you're not against change, period. You're just saying...
I'm really open to change if it's a positive change for our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a little something. It's just a kind of an old story. For anybody that's been a transplanted person for any length of time, I've got 20 years in there and another 5 years prior when I played hockey in there and eventually moved in because that's where my friends and family eventually moved. I knew Jimmy Johnson when he owned the property. Mm-hmm. Jimmy and I go back, we played hockey together. And the thing that Jimmy had with the community is the community clubs. He fed the community clubs. He fed the East Ends. He fed the Park City. He fed the Oxford Heights, the Maple Leaf. And he fed them. And that's what made him such a person. We tolerated his property. We knew it was run down. But we all dealt with him. We dealt with him because it was Jimmy, and he was with us. And if we had issues, we went to him. He helped us out. And he's the first one to help the kids. Rob Warner, same thing. Okay? Many, many pieces of equipment we've had repaired, purchased to keep him in business was the same thing. We overlooked the property. It was falling apart. I bind sticks, I get rained on, for God's sake. That's unfortunately the way it was in disrepair, and I'm surprised it wasn't closed many, many years ago. Years prior to that, it was a lumber yard. But it was always zoned R1M, if I'm not mistaken. And preferably, I'd like to keep it that way. In that zone, you have room for four small 30-foot lots, but that's consistent with the area. The area is not 2,500 square foot homes. They're 7, 8, 9,000 square foot homes. That's what exists in that area. That's what we want to keep it as. Okay? My daughter's raised, we had a good time, we had lots of play area, lots of space. And we just kind of want to protect that and keep that, not increase the traffic in there whatsoever. There's not enough. There's traffic all the way around us, and that was always a safety issue. We have a lot of walking traffic down lanes, and you can see the increase with the aging population of people walking their dogs and a lot of the elderly walking the streets and that. They always use Melrose because that is the quietest street. And parking issues, it's very real. We live very close to the Hoka side. Now, in the area, we have 709 and 711 Regent, which is two apartment blocks side by side. We have the new development condominiums that have been improved on Morrow's and Regent that have just recently been approved there. We also have the brand new one that's out on
Madeline and Regent.
Madeline and Regent as well. We have the, and further on down, well, actually, there's also the lady in the further right in around the Madeline area as well, and just newly approved on Bond Street, I believe. We have a new construction one going there. So multifamily dwellings are up, being uprighted and current. So this one here, I'm sorry, I just don't want to live beside one right at this point in time because I don't see it as being a positive, and I don't think it should affect my pocketbook, i.e. my home and its value.
Okay. Thanks for your presentation, answering my question.
Thank you.
Mr. Ward, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the last slip that I have registered in opposition. Is there anybody else registered in opposition that hasn't filled out a slip? Anybody else registered in opposition? Seeing none. Anybody here registered for information that has not filled out a slip or wishes to be registered in for information? I don't have any slips registered for information. You don't have any? Okay. All right, somebody else registered for information. I would invite the applicant, therefore, to come back up and address the concerns that have been heard.
Thank you once again, and thanks to the residents that made the presentation. Just to try to recap, and it's going to be fairly loose, but we heard about a left-hand turn off the lane. That's a good idea. I think we've heard over and over about the lack of good rental housing in the area. And as I mentioned, the waiting list of there's 15 definite people on the waiting list who are looking for a home in this area that they can afford. Right now, it's mainly condominiums developed. And there are the residents who, as we heard, cannot find proper homes in the area, and they have to live outside of a place that they either grew up or raised their family. The one big item we keep hearing is the traffic and the lot and the I guess visitor parking, etc. I just to quickly recap that there has been an application made to keep some of those keep the parking spots that are on Pandora in place. I'm not sure what that process is or when that decision will come, but if that happens, that's 21 parking spots for 12 units.
You've applied what, to who?
To the City of Winnipeg.
Public Works.
Yes.
To Public Works, okay.
Yes.
And why do you need to apply for that? What's the rationale behind it?
Because it's existing.
It's non-conforming. It's like
It followed the property, did it not, or how did
no.
It just was there and the city didn't know it was basically
something like
probably
that.
Going back to the City of Transcona, so.
Yeah, well, that's
you're probably too honest. You probably told the city station. Yeah, but anyway, okay.
Department engineers have it. They review it.
All right. What have you been informed of the process, Mr. Giovanni?
The application has gone in and it will be dealt with, and I'm not sure what the process is.
You're not sure which meeting it's dealt with or which committee?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just done by Public Works, the
engineers,
like the department, DNA, Anderson.
I see.
I don't think it goes up.
And have you spoken to the administration on that and seen,
no,
what
hasn't.
Yeah. Seen what their opinion is on it, the public service?
Glenn Payette said it shouldn't be a problem.
Who?
Glenn Payette.
She's with Public Works or with property?
She's with zoning and development officer. She just does the zoning and all.
Okay, so it's not Public Works. Your concern would be with Public Works.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is something that's in the works. We're still providing 14 parking spots for 12 units. On that basis, I just wanted to say that there are two bus routes within 5 minutes of the development, and also we've actually reviewed the parking spots down the public lane, and we've done that, and that are on the properties in that area, and there are between 1 and 7 parking spots behind each of the existing houses. Some residents like to see only the 4 houses that I keep hearing built on the site, but even with that, in accordance with Part 5 of the City of Winnipeg building bylaw, there you could have actually up to 6 parking spots allowed on each of the 4 lots, and 4 of those would be vehicles, and 4 and 2 would be other accessory vehicles like motorhomes, whatever, boats. And that would be that if somebody were to follow that, that's a total of like 24 vehicles that could be parked on the 4 single residence homes at the extreme. And when it comes to to develop 4 homes, the economics don't make sense in that respect.
Repeat that again. The economics don't make sense.
Oh, the economics of developing 4 homes on the property,
4 single family homes
versus 12 units. I keep hearing over and over that bringing people in is going to create a safety issue. When you have people living in a complex like this, I think, as I mentioned, we are marking this to the 55 plus people, the ones that have lived in the area, want to stay in the area, cannot. There's a lot of condominiums development, but they cannot afford the condominiums, and this is an option for them. And of the 50 names that called for information, they were described. They were seniors that were either outside in Transcona or outside of Transcona. But this thing about safety, in my view, and I'll present a different view, is that when you have people living bringing people into the residence, you're increasing the number of eyes that are going to keep a lookout for the neighborhood. And I probably see it as a reverse of creating a safety issue. As I see it as possibly providing more security for the area in that respect. There's going to be more people to look out for everybody else. Now, Hank mentioned that his windows are by the parking lot, but I think if we look at the site plan, his house pretty well aligns with the block that faces Pandora, and the parking is behind his house. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it falls behind into his yard space, and we're willing to put whatever privacy fencing or whatever we can do in that to mitigate that. And there are no windows. When we first heard from him initially, he was concerned about units that were going to have balconies facing onto his property, and there are no windows on the side of the building overlooking his house at this with this plan. We hear about overbuilding, and I guess that has happened on Madeleine. There seem to be quite a few high density development, and that's not the intention to do that here. 12 units is pretty well it, and again, that's 1,260 square feet of property lot per unit. Water drainage, I think we're in some ways we are helping the situation because we cannot drain onto the city property. We have to catch our own drainage and put it into the and channel it into the proper storm sewage system. So in some ways maybe you could say that we are helping that. Revolving door, I don't think anybody is really out to build a development that's going to go sour in the future. Everybody wants to build good housing. I mean, in this case, we want to build a good housing, provide proper homes for people, and we hope that they will stay there for as long as they can, physically can. Hank mentioned the fence that is supposed to be on his property, but in the handout you will have a survey that shows that the fence that was put up is well within Mr. Mark's property, and that's in the handout that that we give you. Somebody commented that this will benefit one person. In a sense, I guess if this project works, it may benefit those that develop it. But at the same time, and I think you heard then that then by the response to the to this project is that this will benefit a lot of people in the area that are looking for good housing. Multifamily. If the plans are there to be seen, there is one bedroom and a small what we consider a den. So how much of a family can get into that unit, I'm not too sure. But it is designed for the retired couple and a spare room for an office or possibly a guest once in a while. The distance between the buildings, the building that's on the west side would not be any different than if that were a single-family home. It's the same kind of separation that we have there. And in this case, there are no windows on that side to invade on the privacy of the property next door. We were certainly off base when we first came to this committee, and we've certainly have gone out of our way to address whatever comments came, whatever comments or concerns were raised and comments were made raised. And there was an interesting thought that was just, we just heard about working with Jimmy, I guess, who is a former owner of the property. And I guess Mr. Mark is, maybe he wants to be the Jimmy of the future, because I don't think he's doing this for, he's doing it for the property is there. There is a need in that area. And this is very much a family project, because his wife, Laurie, will be managing this. She is. She did go to school in Transcona, and she's the one that's been taking all the calls about the potential for the people that need a home. I, th- I think that's, if I missed something, I'm sure you'll ask some questions that, and I can help clarify. But that's the response to what I've heard so far. Oh, one other thing is, I'm not too sure if this, but what the traffic was when this was a sporting goods place, whether where it was any worse or not than it is now with customers coming and going. So I'll just wait for your questions.
Okay, thanks. I have some questions that are more technical in nature. What is the proposed height of the buildings?
The building is, if you look at the elevations down there, it is a two-story building. That's basically an 8-foot ceiling, about 12 inches for flooring, 1 inch up, so that's 10. 18, 20 to the, probably 20 feet to the east, which is, it's a standard two-story height.
But with the pitch roof as well?
With the pitch roof, slopes back very quickly, so that's probably another 8 feet. So we're probably about 24 feet to the high point of the pitch.
Just looking at your diagram at the bottom there, you have the preliminary color or Pandora elevation. Are these two different possibilities, or what is this?
This is color studies that we haven't picked colors. And I think when we had the open house, we wanted to show that this is just studies of what colors could be used. And it would be a combination of colored stucco and siding. And there's actually even some brick to break up the units somewhat so they'd look more like two fourplex instead of one large eightplex.
Okay. And the east side, the side east elevation above that, that is basically you're looking at the parking lot in a sense. You're looking at
the smaller
of the two building on the right and the larger building.
Yeah, so this building, this part that you see here would be this elevation here.
Right.
And this other one is the one that's facing the parking here. Part of the plan that we were looking at is that one of the things you try to do in a neighborhood like this is to foster some community within the complex, within the development, in that four entrances off of a court, which can be landscaped and where the neighbors can get together. We are trying to foster this sense of a community that could happen in these spots here. So with hard paving, place for barbecue, and that enhances the whole notion of the neighborhood, and we're trying to do that. The distance between these two buildings is basically to act by access from the street to the parking. It's not really a public access. We have to meet whatever fire codes are needed to make sure that proper firefighting access is there and is available. Because there was one comment about spaces needed between buildings.
Is this a paved lane that you're proposing here?
This part here?
Yeah.
It's a hard paved, yes. It's a paved walkway.
Okay. Where do you have the garbage here, Mr. Giovanni?
The garbage happens in an enclosure, and I think the reporter mentioned that it has to be enclosed.
Okay.
While I'm at that, I just remember that there was also a comment about this 5-foot setback from the lane, and I think the planner addressed that such that if this building were to face on Bismarck, this side yard would not have to be 25 feet. I think it'd be more like the, I'm not sure if John is 5 feet or 4 feet or whatever. I'm not sure what it is, but it would be a different situation. So if this building like this one does, if this were considered a front yard, this would probably fit within the setback requirements.
What you're saying. So if you're saying if the whole building were to be flipped around, is that what
if this
saying?
Right now this is the front this is assigned the front yard status.
Right.
So that means we need 25 feet across the back here. If this building were assigned a front yard of Bismarck, then as John mentioned in his report, this would be a much less setback requirement on that part.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. We heard some concerns with regards to the setbacks on the building pertaining to the, first of all, the east side yard, 5 feet versus 8 feet between the buildings?
That's this between here.
Well, that's that?
That's the space between the two buildings, not between this.
What is that? That meets the, that's a minimum of 8 feet.
The building is, this is about, I can't read, the dimension is up here. 5 feet. I think it's five. It's a 5 foot setback, which meets the required.
Just is then from the next.
From the next building, I think it's even more than that, because Mr. Langer's house is further back.
There's no variance required.
Variance for that building against that east side yard. The variance is for the parking area against the east side yard.
It's for this portion here.
Which portion?
The parking area from here.
Oh, I see.
To here.
Against the property,
right.
Against the homeowner's property to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I guess that's a concern because, it's right up against a property that doesn't have parking right against it. What you have on the west side there where you have the smaller of the two units, is there, you have a fairly large front yard there. Is there a reason for that?
We're trying to provide a good setback from the street. If we want to provide the 4 feet here, we could move the whole building, this building forward, and provide a 4 foot strip there. That's, I think, is what's required, John.
4 feet or 5 feet?
It's 4 feet.
4 feet. We could shift. What we're doing is we could do that, and then now we basically be reducing the setback. This building would move to scale to roughly where this tree starts here. So that could be, if that's a huge concern, we could certainly accommodate that way. And then there would be, if we do that, I believe there wouldn't be any variances at all on the east side.
Would you be willing to, as part of this process, we quite often require site plan approval at another community committee meeting with regards to landscaping?
I think we've shown, after our initial start, we've shown a willingness to work with whatever is necessary to provide some needed housing here.
Right, but specifically landscaping that 4 feet so that there's trees and everything else.
Yeah, there will be. I'm sure there'll be a process we have to follow, and that's fine. We'll do that. Yes.
And would you be amenable to restricting your property to two-story buildings?
That is the case. Yes.
That is the case.
We're not interested.
You wouldn't object to the community committee made a restriction that it has to be a two-story building.
That's all we're applying for. Yes.
Okay. And you've said you are prepared to deal with the left-hand turn. You're prepared to provide that signage at your cost?
Yes.
How does snow removal was raised as an issue? How is that planning to be addressed on the site?
On the site?
In the parking lot, specifically.
They would have to be within the parking lot. Whether all those parking lots are needed or not, I really can't give you an honest answer as to where it can be put in the park. If it becomes a problem,
I guess what I'm getting at is it would be the property owner's responsibility to
yes, and I guess if it becomes a real issue, it would have to be a scrape and haul situation where they have to remove it from site.
So that's the landlord's responsibility.
That would be the owner's responsibility.
The owner's responsibility.
Yes.
And your market for this property, what's the square footage of the units again?
The units are an average of 800 square feet.
Okay. And the market, your rent is starting at what?
I think there was...
Around 925.
Yeah. 925. So your market you foresee is going to be who based on that rent?
I think it is, as we heard, people that want to either sell their house and still stay in that area. They don't want to be tied down with the house ownership anymore and stay in the area. And they don't want to tie up their money into a new condominium.
We heard a concern from delegations today with regards to, the concern of possible low-income rent. I realize that there must be an economy of scale or an economy with regards to your business plan and what you can afford to
yes.
charge rent or mm-hmm. what you can't afford to charge is more like it based on what
yeah.
the cost of the product.
I don't think from the response to the project, the market for what these are aimed for is there. And I don't think that's going to happen, but nobody has a crystal ball to tell us what the future brings. But at the same time, we have found that the market is there. Some people at the open house were really ready to put down a deposit for one of the units, and the rental was not an issue.
You have, you're providing yourself 14 stalls?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Is your space for your garbage adequate, based on what you have here?
I believe so. That's what's shown there is probably a 6x6 bin. not sure what
size. Including the recycling bins? Because you're recycling as well, eh?
We have room to do that in this area here.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, I guess any kind of final site design would have to go to their approval after this.
I want to thank you for having two open houses, because I know that was something that we recommended. Or we actually recommended you go back and have one open house.
Wow.
I mean, you went and had two. So I want to thank you for doing that, because, this consumes time and everything else. But for taking the steps to have a couple open houses in the community.
If I can make a comment, I think it is.
We've had applicants here who refuse to have open houses, so that's what.
I personally think it's the only way, and like I said, I think we got off to not a too good of a start, and we hope that we've shown commitment to this by going through that process.
And what is your time frame?
I would think probably for the spring, as soon as frost is out of the ground, it would be in April. An April start, and I'm not putting words in your mouth. Yeah, it's winter to design, and after frost is out of the ground.
Are you confident that when you go to the IMS, I think it is the standing committee, whatever the process council has, I don't know if the clerk can shed any light on these parking stalls here, but are you confident that from what you've heard from this public administration, from the public service of the city, that you will be able to retain the parking stalls that are there right now? You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
How many? Handed off by yourself. We don't have anything on this.
There's
seven
room
stalls.
For seven.
Accurate?
Yes.
Those stalls have been there probably since
the
last year, 50 years possibly.
Mm-hmm. Prior to that, for their customers. Yeah. The public service may come back and say that it's your responsibility to maintain that. Is that an issue? Yeah. Okay. And I guess because I understand a lot of the concerns the residents have made with regards to traffic and living on a residential street, they are correct that they are kind of sandwiched in between Regent, which is a major street on the north side, and Pandora, which is in itself a busy street. And so they're concerned about parking, they're concerned about traffic, they're concerned about overflow parking. This, in some ways, is you're required, the part you've already exceeded your parking requirement with the 14 stalls, but this would give an added assurance to the neighborhood that there would not be parking if you retain this, I guess is what I'm saying. I think it's important that you're going through this process to retain this officially.
Yes.
Do you have any idea when that will occur?
No.
Okay. Would you object if I made it as a condition of this hearing that your development would be approved subject to the approval of these stalls as well? If you're confident that it will be approved.
I think Mike should speak to that, but I think we're providing 14 units for 12, 14 parking stalls for 12 units is already beyond what a lot of the local area developments have provided for parking for the number of units. So I don't know if Mr. Mark is willing to make that commitment.
Would you like? Could you come forward, Mr. Mark, and just because it's all recorded. Come, pull up another chair, please. Maybe Mr. Wintrop is chomping at the bit to add something here. Go ahead, Mr. Wintrop.
Because I'm not sure what the approval process is for parking in right of way like that. I'm not sure if it's done by the Winnipeg Public Service, which is public work, or if it's going to a standing policy committee. I know it doesn't come to BKT. So I'm not 100% sure what the approval process is. And I'm not sure if you can have a clause in there where another committee other than P&D is actually approving a development.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that another committee would be approving the development. What I'm potentially suggesting is that this is required as part of the development. So it's not really, it is hinged on what another decision body, but at the same, I guess where I'm going with this, Mr. Mark and Mr. Jeremiah, is it's easy to say no It's easy to say no. It's easy for me to say no to you today. It's easy for the Public Works Department to say no, you can't have those parking stalls, right? However, if it's going to ensure that your development doesn't go forward, then they got to think about it a little bit.
Can we not send a favorable recommendation to maintaining those stalls to whoever that?
Oh, I think if we approve this today, I think that's the signal right there. So, but I guess what I'm saying is, if you're confident that, you know, I'm even willing to say, look, if they come back and say, look, you know, you can't keep seven, you can have four, but you can't keep seven. I'm willing to. I mean, four, I think is like that's a lot of parking now. You've got a fair bit of parking. Okay. So I'm not trying to throw a wall up here, but I'm saying that I think we have to be sincere. If this is, you presented this to us, and I think you're sincere about your presentation, you're sincere about the fact you contacted the city, I'm saying, well, let's ensure we get this, right? Let's not lose it just because somebody on a whim wants to say no.
I would agree to that, but as you said before, between four and seven.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Between four and seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll agree to that.
Okay.
Those would be exclusive to the use of this property?
Yeah, well, I mean,
or there's the other.
It's on public right of way, right? So
the other option.
How do you regulate that? I'm just saying, I mean, chances are they're going to want to say that you're going to have to maintain it, right?
Because then if it's to the benefit of the neighborhood, then maybe it. It might be, if it could be used by anyone that needs a parking spot that lives in the area, then it's a different condition than if it's only used by this development. So I think I'm just trying to say there's a lot of things that need to be worked out as far as that.
Would they be responsible for the benefit from it? Would they have to pay for additional assessment value of the parking? Can they rent out those stalls?
I don't think we should get too tied up in the details of that stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. Other than, okay. I just want to make sure that that there's enough incentive on all sides to secure that. I'm afraid delegations, I'm afraid we're beyond that point right now. So to make delegations, we have to have a process here. Otherwise, it's anarchy. But anyway. Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'll just agree with that condition.
Okay. Okay. And I'm sure our administration would work with you on that with regards to that. There was an issue raised about the pins.
It is to do with the fence between that was put up, and that's what I mentioned. There is a survey. Mr. Halanga is saying that our fence is on his property, but there is a survey within the handout that shows that the fence is on Mr. Mark's property.
It's within.
It's in the blue tab section.
I see that.
That's away from Pelican Wright.
Okay. I see that as, you know, I think that's a bit of a, if there's a dispute, it's more of a civil dispute between two parties. Not really.
But that's what the PID reference was about.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understood that, but you're, okay.
I had a survey twice, actually.
Survey twice. Okay.
Before the fence went after the GPS, on.
Okay. And your enclosed garbage, what is that looking like? You're going to have like a...
I would assume there's a fence. I think John has a requirement in the... there's a requirement in the report for that, and we'll live with that.
The variance still reads, maybe Mr. Wintrop could address this, the variance still reads the establishment of an accessory parking area to permit parking spaces directly off the lane instead of an aisleway. Is that still required?
No, that was the first application for the first variance. It's
okay.
Still in the agenda, but that's not the one that's being. That was
so that should be deleted.
That one should have been withdrawn.
Withdrawn, yeah. That first variance is not needed if you're going with the second site plan. If you want to stay with the first site plan, then you need the variance of those variants.
So you're saying item number four?
I'm not sure what item. Yeah, that's not needed. This variance is being. Cross-reference, there's been a new variance application made. The old existing variances for that first site plan you still have the option of going with that site plan. If you want the second site plan, then you need the variances of the later applications dated October.
So when we deal with this, what are you saying?
You only approve one variance, not both.
Depending on what you are inclined to recommend as far as the DAS said, that will determine which variance you wish to proceed with.
Okay. But clearly the variance, though, item number one is required for the construction of multiple family to permit a front yard of 25 feet instead
that's
28 feet.
That's covered off in the second variance.
Well, that's in the second variance?
Yeah.
Okay. So that variance could be received as information, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, you can proceeded with. One of the variances is not going to be proceeded with, and one of them is good if you want to make a recommendation, a positive recommendation, would be to approve one of the variances.
Okay, all right.
They don't need both variances.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other questions, Councilman?
Nope.
No. Do you want to take the chair? I don't have any other questions at this point, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Councilor Bowden, do you want to take the chair?
Thank you.
I'm going to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Move that recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in with the following changes, and I want the clerk to make note of if this is to apply to the variance or to the subdivision rezoning order, that the height is restricted to that of a two-story, that the construction be only allowed for two-story construction on the site, number one. Number two, that the building, again, this would probably apply to the variance, but I'll state it now, that the building the smaller of the two buildings be moved 4 feet further to the west, including the parking lots, over 4 feet, therefore creating a 4 feet side yard between the parking lot and the property owner, the immediate property owner to the east.
That's required in the zoning bylaw. You can just reject part 2B of the variance.
I'll leave the clerk to decide on how she wants to amend it, but that's the intent.
The intent?
Yeah.
Okay.
That the developer be required upon the completion of the construction of the parking lot to install a required left-hand turn sign upon exiting the parking lot. The developer be required to build an enclosure for all garbage for the property. That the developer be required to secure a minimum of 4 parking stalls from the existing parking now accessible from Pandora Avenue, off of Pandora Avenue. And the developer be required to return to this community committee for approval of site plan. I want to, so that's the motion, and to add the following supporting reasons. Infill projects, we've dealt with a lot of them in the last 6 years of this community committee, probably because of the strong economy that we've had here in Manitoba, the housing economy. I can tell you that they are never very easy to do because you're building in an existing neighborhood. It's a lot easier to go in and build on a greenfield site in the middle of nowhere or on the edge of the city, basically because of the fact that there's nobody around or there's nobody nearby. Having said that, we as a city are burdened all the time when we build these new subdivisions on the outside of the city or on the edge of the city as the city continues to grow, because we have to put in new roads, new infrastructure, new bus service, new policing, new libraries, everything that has to go with that. Infill housing like this is beneficial because of the fact that it stays, the housing's actually in the neighborhood with the existing infrastructure in place, existing transit, existing services. But more importantly, in many ways, in an older neighborhood, like, and I say older because, you know, the neighborhood's not a brand new neighborhood, it's not an old, old neighborhood either, it's kind of in the middle. It has to renew itself, and there has to be a regeneration that takes place. And quite often that's not easy to do. It's easy to say, well, this should be single family lots instead of multiple family. It's not easy to do because quite often, depending on the state of the economy and whether there's an interest to build in an area, that's often a challenge. I'm a believer that also on the idea of that more eyes in the neighborhood do make a neighborhood safer. I do agree with that. Because you know, people have a tendency to want to watch out for the neighbors. Based on the, I think the concern that this would attract or be a low rental, the economies of building a building like this. If it was a cheap building, if it was put up cheap, it would look cheap. Yeah, maybe they could get away with a low rent, but with the economies of scale, with their business plan, with the requirement to install underground services, with the requirement to install an asphalt parking lot. With the landscaping requirements, there's going to be no doubt a significant cost that will have to be borne out by the rents, and so it's going to dictate a certain level of rent for this. Otherwise, it just simply won't be feasible. But the area, by having a new development like this, I think will be positive with regards to renewal of the existing neighborhoods. And I think the school of whether or not this will lower property values, I question that right away, because that's something that we've heard over and over and over again at public hearings when we have infill housing and when we have multiple family, even when it's condominium multiple family, that is said to lower property values. That has been proven now not to be the case, that the exact opposite occurs. The traffic issue, again, that's a concern we've heard. I think by linking the requirement, it was partly to ensure that it's not just a requirement for the city to work with the developer here to secure the parking off of Pandora, but by the motion being worded the way it is, it's a requirement by the developer to also ensure that he follows through with his commitment today to secure that parking. Otherwise, it could be very easily after this hearing to say, well, we didn't get it, you know. This is a requirement. This has to happen. So it's both sides, basically ensuring that the city works to secure this and to make sure the development occurs. And the parking off of Pandora is crucial, because I do agree with many of you who've raised concerns about additional parking on Melrose. It's a little bit ways out of the way, but you know, if people can't find parking, they'll find parking where they can. And so that's why I think it's crucial that the parking on Pandora remain. I realize that it's a change for the next door neighbor, but I'm one of the things we push for very hard at this committee is to have a higher level of development in Transcona, because I think in the past developers, for whatever reason, have felt that they don't have to have a higher level of development. They have to have a higher level of development when it comes to Linden Woods or Tuxedo or maybe Charleswood, but when it comes to Transcona, they can kind of dumb down projects and make them look cheaper. That's why what you heard earlier, site plan approval. Site plan approval basically is the developer having to come back and present us with landscaping, with trees, with fencing. What is the style of fencing? What even is the look of the building going to be? What are the facades going to look like? And we've been very strict, if you, for lack of a better term, at this committee of trying to ensure that the site plans are at a high level, and you know, just to ensure that there's a better quality of development occurring in the community, because I think the majority of residents in the area do want to see improvements and look after the properties in that way. The issue of condo versus rental, I mean, that's really something that the market really needs to dictate. We can't do that here today. It's a possibility that if they don't get any rental units, that could be potentially converted to condominiums quite easily. It's happened before. One only has to look up Plessy Road and all the blue apartment blocks that used to be apartment blocks that have all been converted to condos. three stories condos. And so there's a possibility, depending on what the market bears, if there's no rental income, then there's a good chance, I would imagine, that it could end up being condos in anyway. But there's no, this is a land use, this committee is here to just determine land use, not to determine what the market can or should not bear. There's a real concern that this is on Pandora, and Pandora is a very busy street. There is high traffic volumes, and one of the, and it's been said that rather than this happening, it should be single family homes. I can tell you that based on high traffic volumes, one of the first thing that developers look at is looking at, instead of residential, looking at commercial. And there was commercial already on this site. It could be supported that it stay commercial. And I think, depending on what kind of commercial, whether it be gas bar or something along those lines, I don't think the residents in the area, I don't think that would be very amenable to the area. I think that would actually draw against the area and hurt the area if you saw more commercial development. And that would, in itself, create more traffic in the area. So by saying no to this today, I think that it would potentially, it's better to know the devil you do than the devil you don't, and you could end up getting a commercial development here that would create more headaches and heartaches than you feel that the multiple family would bring. I think this, I was quite surprised actually that there's been a lot of changes to the project. It's undergone a radical change from what it looked like before. It was very simple before it came before us, and a good first start, let's put it that way. And I think it's undergone a lot of changes, I think, for the better. Very positive, and I did thank the applicant for having two open houses. Because sometimes developers say, take it or leave it, and that's it, right? And we know that there is a demand for multiple family housing in the community. There is a huge demand for multiple family housing. And there's a huge demand for rental units right now. And $900 is not low income. I don't know. Most people I know out there, $900 for a monthly rent is a fair bit of money. I wish in some ways we had more support from the provincial government, federal government, with regards to more affordable housing, because I think there's a lot of families out there who are hurting with regards to having quality housing. One of the most controversial decisions this committee made about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, was to build, to allow for housing to go on Kildare Avenue in Canterbury Park, completely residential, but for Habitat housing. And you thought the room was full today, the room was packed. And everybody in the area opposing it because, we don't want people of low income living in our neighborhood, and this was a concern. I can tell you that was one of the toughest decisions this committee made, and it was in Transcona. You go walk now down Kildare and you'll see yards looking beautiful, homes looking beautiful, flowers, people having pride. And that comes partly with home ownership, but it also comes with a sense of community. And the Transcona has a great sense of community. And we have that diversity of housing. And the very fact, and it was pointed out, you can go down a block and you can see housing, multiple family housing on Hoke Avenue, a small block that's been there for years. You can go up to Kildare and see, or on Regent Avenue, see them on Regent Avenue. You can see the new development happening on Madeline and Regent. And also, as noted, what was recently approved on Regent Avenue at right across from Regent Park at Mraz. So, anyway, I just wanted to add those comments, Madam Clerk, to the record, to address what the residents have said here today, and I realize that. You try to make a decision based on what you feel is the best for the community and as balanced as possible, and that's my decision here today. So I'm moving. Where's my motion, Councillor?
Page 6 of the first one.
Yeah.
You're
supporting reasons, so I move that as part of it as well.
Yeah. So you did the first two.
Yeah.
There. I'll just add a comment too. That
sure.
I will also be supporting this motion today. A lot of developers will come forward to this committee and they'll try to jam on as many housing units as possible on a lot. They'll go into a neighborhood typically with single-family homes and try to do 3- and 4-story properties. They don't seem to have too much concern about windows, you know, 3 floors up looking into your backyard. I think the new plan, the one that's been revised here, is very sensitive to those things. The changes that Councillor Wyatt has suggested with the moving of the parking lot 4 feet from the side, the notion of adding the extra stalls both into the lot, going to the 14 stalls, as well as the parking stalls and Pandora is appropriate. And the reality is, when you look at housing that's 55 plus, they're typically single vehicle families, and they don't tend to go out as often. Whereas if you have, you know, 4 active young families, hockey practice, soccer practice, people are coming and going constantly. So I don't think the number of movements during a day is necessarily going to be as high. And as you mentioned, it's a 5-minute walk to buses. These units could very much appeal to seniors that are going to be using bus services to get to various appointments and shopping and such. So based on those reasons and the ones that Councillor Wyatt suggested, I think a lot of the concerns that were previously brought up have been addressed. I do realize that, you know, anytime you're looking at any type of major change in the neighborhood, it does affect things. But I think this is quite responsible for the need and the need for multiple family housing in this area.
Okay.
So the motion's been heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Motion's been heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And do you want to move? I'll move item number 4. So you're suggesting that this has been amended in the variance. So move that the can I get some direction from the clerk?
Yeah,
on the
certainly. Mr. Planner, just for clarification, this first variance then ought not to be proceeded with because we're going with the second site plan?
Yes.
So then we will deal. So the first variance should not be proceeded with or right. Rejected.
So I'll move that.
Okay.
Motion's been heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Second variance. I'll, with the changes as stipulated by in the previous motion, to ensure that those are recorded and amended, I will move. First of all, I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
I'll move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
I'll move that criteria A to D of subsection 2473 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set out below are satisfied.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in with the amendments as previously stated.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
And you need to read these two votes.
Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. Please note that the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued by the clerk, which will be mailed to all persons registered.
And the variance item?
Sorry?
Did you read the variance item below as well?
Yes, I did both of these here.
You read that one? Okay. All right. Good.
Good.
Okay. All right. That item is adjourned. Any other items on the agenda?
No, we're done.
Okay. All right. Councillor Broaddy moves adjournment of the public hearing. And you have moved, Councillor Broaddy moves that we go back to the regular session. All those in favor?